Let us pray.
Father, as we come this morning and give you thanks for this wonderful time where we can experience your grace, we are reminded that it was not free, that you bought our very souls with a price, the price of your Son Jesus. May we never forget that. May we cherish it. May we hold on to it in our hearts, but share it forth with our lips to all those around us. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now I want to ask our men that attended Promise Keepers to come up and we're going to share some things that whoever would like to share, some things that that really touch their hearts. And I invite you guys to come on up at this time. We've got several of them that aren't here this morning because going on vacation and incorporating that into the trip down to Columbia. Hopefully nobody stayed in Columbia. That's the hottest place on the face of the earth. We did learn that much about things on our trip. There were 16 of us in total that went, and we had a great time, I think. And I'm not going to take a whole lot, but I'm just going to ask these guys to share. Just step over to the mic and share. I guess it's on, isn't it, John? Is it? Okay. If just whoever would like to begin, to go ahead.
It was an experience. Friday night, we had the speaker, Bob Cornicky, and he's been all over the world, and he said quite a few people travel with him. One of the things that really impressed me was when he went to Saudi Arabia and went to Mount Sinai. And he had pictures, and they had this rock up there on top of Mount Sinai. And that was where God came down and met Moses. Am I right? And there's so much. I'm trying to keep all this in my mind. So I can't remember anything anymore. But you read in the Bible that Moses took his staff and struck this rock, and water flowed up from the earth. And this rock, it's just, you can look at it, it's just like you took a knife and just cut this thing right straight down the middle. And this is one of the driest places on earth. They get like a quarter of an inch every 10 years, yeah. half inch, something like that. Yeah. And there had been millions or billions of gallons of water that come out of the top of this rock. Because you can see all the rocks where it was flooded, and how the rocks were washed smooth. And it's just really amazing. And that was one of the high points. I saw it Friday night, and I just started praying. I said, thank you, Lord. And there's so many other things I could talk about here, but everybody's got something they want to add, you know. But that was really a high point. And that was one of the lowest points of the whole thing, which is only really one. John and I shared a room. Wait a minute. Let me finish now, guys. That's not the low point. The low point was we got up Saturday morning, and there was cold water. They had no hot water in the shower. That was the low point, you know. But that was the low point of the whole thing. But other than that, it was a blessing, you know. And I wish I could do it again next weekend, you know. It really touches your heart. But nothing against you, John, personally.
Yeah, I'm going to go next.
Yeah. I think you need to respond to that, John.
Because so far, Fred's already talked about my singing.
No.
He must have heard me because, as Pam will tell you, I can't sing. But get down there with those guys. You just can't help yourself. It's just awesome to hear a lot of voices. And the whole trip was just awesome. And I can't really pick a high point. There's just so much information and worship. But one thing I did want to bring up. A guy Friday night, the second speaker Friday night. Nobody talks about this guy. I may have stole their story. Robert, were you going to talk about James Riley?
No.
Okay. He told the story of three men. Paul, you may have heard of him, and Philemon. He's a book in the Bible. And another man named Onesimus. And it's a wonderful story. And the way he told it was awesome. And after that, the call was given for men to come down to the front of the stage. And I believe 139 men accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior Friday night. And that's just, to me, the whole trip is, if it was nothing but that, that would be wonderful. And I just want you to pray for those guys as they go out into the world and try to live their life for Jesus. And these guys here, I want you to pray for them, and I want you to pray for me. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you, John.
Well, I can't hardly come up without saying something about the music. And the music that I appreciated the most was a couple of the songs where the band and everything dropped out. One of them was Holy, 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 and you had the 8 to 10,000, whatever it is, men singing a cappella. The sound was just, it's phenomenal to hear that many male voices like that come together praising God. The speakers were all good. The Friday night ones on archaeology, just to hear all of his experiences and searches and the things that he has found that back up and prove the Bible. It's one thing to accept it by faith. It's another when you can point to things and say, here, in history, in archaeology, we have found this. It proves this happened. And to me, that's exciting. One of the other blessings I really got out of it is getting to know some of the guys a little better. Some of you don't talk to as much. The fellowship there. And one of the points that kept coming out from a lot of the speakers is to stand up and be a man. Sometimes standing up and be a man means you think you can do it all alone, you don't need help. But you come to the realization that without each other, we can't do it. And I'm thankful for the men here, the support, and the fact that we have a group that we can come together. And again, being in Columbia, I'm thankful for air conditioning. And I'm thankful I live here, too. But it was a wonderful blessing to be with these guys.
All the speakers we had, had some key points, and I'm going to try to pick out one, but one of the key points that struck me was something that Bob Cornuke had said. One of his trips, they'd been, over in the Middle East for a couple of weeks, and they'd been shot at, having to find their way off the mountain at night. He got back home, had not a single scratch on him. And his wife told him he needed to take out the trash. He was rolling the trash down, tripped on a pebble in his driveway, and shattered his elbow. So it was like he was saying, it's not the mountains that'll trip you up in life because you're prepared for those. It's the little pebbles in life that you won't see. They'll trip you up and, hurt you. I was trying to, think of different things. And one of the things I jotted down, one of the comedians that had spoken was Brad Stein, and some of the stuff he'd said was, maybe a little questionable, or some of his phrases, but one of the things that he'd said that hurt me, that struck me or whatever, and then after Fred giving the presentation for the children, Brad was talking about putting on the armor of God, and I said, after Fred said that, I said, maybe the Lord's, guided me to, speak on that. And he had even spoke, Ephesians chapter 6, and I had chapter verse 10 and 11. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you'll be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. And what he was saying, let's see if I can, he was telling us, put on our armor of God, because before we go to battle, as men, he was telling us, be Christian warriors. And before a warrior can go to battle, he has to put on his armor, all of his armor. And what we are in a battle against, Satan every day. And you never take the armor off. Christ put that armor on, and Christ will take that armor off of us when we die. And he was saying that, you know, after he's dead and Christ takes that armor off, he wants his armor to be beaten, torn, dented, scratched up to prove that he had been a warrior for Christ. You know, what's the point in having that armor, you know, if you're not going to use it? So, you know, he wanted, you know, Christ put that armor on us, and when we die, Christ will take that armor off. You know, and when it's all beat and banged up and all, and God said, you've been a, you know, mighty warrior for me. You've done good. So that's one of the things. And then there was one other thing I'd kind of learned that had nothing to do with the, but came to the conclusion that, you know, even though we have a good shepherd and Fred leading us and as sheep, there are times that you need to be thinking on your own and forget about, you know, following just our shepherd, that, you know, remember that you're a follower of Christ, because your shepherd will get you lost.
Are you talking about me?
No. Yeah. But I am so proud to have, you know, gone with these men and know that they're my brothers in Christ and they'll be there for me. Thank you.
Before anybody else says anything, if they want to, I want us to sing a little bit first, but make a comment about that shepherding thing. At night when there's people saying, yeah, we take this exit, no, we take that exit, and we take this, it's hard to get the right direction sometimes. And I think it was Randy says, does this mean that, or when we were sitting and eating yesterday, said, does this mean that we shouldn't follow our shepherd? And I said, no, I think it means the sheep need to be quiet. So, of course, I'm kidding on that. The sheep do need to make their voices known. And the sheep, in this case, this sheep up here, this is a bunch of billy goats. This ain't a bunch of sheep. So, but I want to stand and sing here. These are some songs we've sang on Wednesday night, a couple of them. We've sang, I know this one here on Sunday morning before. But I want you to stand and sing. And I want to say about the singing there. And one of the things, you know, Randy appreciated the hymns that were sung a cappella, and they were beautiful, absolutely beautiful. We're going to sing one of those at the close. But I like the praise music and the worship music as well. And I just enjoy seeing people really put their heart into that singing. And the musicians do that. I mean, you can see it on their faces as they're singing. You can see it. 8,000, 10,000 men standing, many of them, most of them, with their hands lifted and praising God as they lift their voices, not caring what they sound like, but simply singing and praising God. And I would ask that you do that. Just you praise God this morning with your voice as we sing a couple of these songs. Here I am to worship, and what's the other one, James? How great is our God. So stand up and sing with us. We've got our words right up here. great is our God. Anything anybody else would like to say?
I'd like to add one thing that to what Robert had brought up and part of what the sermon is this morning. One thing that was brought out that impressed me was everyday life and how some of us still in our hearts, without really being conscious of it, are prejudiced. And the men that put on part of this program, black men, were wonderful. And they kept reminding us, and it was a good reminder to me, that armor that God wants us to put on covers both the black man, the yellow man, and the white man. And you do not see the color of the skin. And we are arm in arm with each other in the battle against sin, for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. You want to say anything?
I didn't speak. Oh, Matthew, say something.
Okay. I think I can think of something else. They've covered about everything. The one thing that I thought was just pretty amazing was where we sat at, there was actually a guy that was doing sign language in front of us. He was the guy that was doing the signs and stuff, and just sitting there watching him sign while the people were talking. Like when the one guy that you talked about that had been to Saudi Arabia, been shot at and stuff. I mean, just him, you know, doing the guns. It just added that much more to the actual story. And but everything else that they mentioned was all just a fun time. We had a blast.
Anything else anybody want to add?
Well, there's one story that I think struck a lot of the men that were there. I didn't want to steal anyone else's. I think Brenning was one of the ones that probably would have talked about it. But our one speaker was telling a story about how he had collected baseball cards, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Football cards?
Basketball cards.
I know it was one of the cards. Basketball cards. And, you know, his wife didn't want him spending money on the basketball cards, so he decided he'd get them for his kids. And when he'd go to tuck his kids in at night, that he would, sometimes he would stick a pack of the basketball cards under the pillow. And he'd have prayer with them, tuck them in, say goodnight, and then say, did you check under your pillow? And he was telling a story that later on, as his children got older, what was his son, almost 20?
21
when he came and did this. He had had a really bad day, was really depressed and discouraged, and one of those days when he wanted to just take it all in, go to bed at 7 o'clock, forget about the day, if I go to sleep, it'll be done with, I can get it over with. And so he went to bed, his wife came, joined him a little later, and he was in and out of sleep, and the son came in, and... Well, he had made the comment that as they got older, the kids came and tucked them in now. But anyway, that the son came in and said goodnight to his mom, knelt down, had prayer with him, and then came over, and he said he was kind of in and out, realizing what was going on. The son came over to him, you know, and said, I love you, Dad, you know, prayed for him. And as he's getting ready to leave the room, he said, did you check under your pillow? And his dad sat up and said, you know, I hope you're not playing with me. He reached under there, and his son had put a pack of the playing or the cards under his pillow, and he said, "Getting that kind of love come back from his son just made everything else melt away." And you know how important those kind of relationships are—that we can show that love and that we take the time. I think a number of the men up here were in tears as that story went, because I think it touched a lot in a lot of ways. And I wasn't going to say anything earlier because I thought someone else might say something on that one, but that one touched me too. That was a neat story.
This 21-year-old son, he just left and went to South Africa with a bunch of guys. And he's going to be down there for a year to work with AIDS patients. And he said yesterday morning, he said, I had no idea what was going to happen. This is a complete surprise to me. He said, 2 hours ago, I got a call from my son in South Africa. And he says, aren't you about ready to speak in Columbia at the Promise Keepers? He says, yeah. And he says, let me have a word of prayer with you. He said, that totally floored me yesterday morning when my son called from South Africa, say, hey, I'm going to have a word of prayer with you before you go up there to speak. And I thought, you know, that was really good. That really touched it too, you know. And that just, that was a really exciting place. I mean, time to be there.
I'd like to add one thing. That speaker was Dan Seaborn. And one of the things he had said, well, he was speaking on working in our marriages, and one of the things he followed up at the end is his wife had told him one day that he said, I see you running off, you know, various church members call you night or day, you're in need, and you run off to pray for them. You know, I see you kneeling at the altar, you know, praying with, you know, our members that are in need. And she said, how come you never pray with me and pray for me? And he said that just knocked him down to his knees, that he had never considered, you know, he had trying to take care of everybody else, but that he had neglected his wife in that way, that, you know, he had never sat down. And that Christmas, he put a little wrap, an empty wrap box under the Christmas tree, and all it had in it was a note that say, honey, I promise, you know, every day to sit and pray with you.
Anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
So much.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to close with a couple of brief comments, and then I want you to pray for us and these men and those many that were there and those that aren't even with us here today. We had such a good time. There's two things that really impressed me. Part of it's done been talked about. One of them was the fact that Matthew went with me. That was a real pleasure for him to go with me and my son be there with me. It's good to see. You know, I still can't see him as no man yet, but I know in body at least he is, age-wise. When he comes up and says, can you give me some money for a drink? You know, it's hard for me to see him as a man yet. So, But it was a real pleasure for me. It was a privilege for me to have him go with me and for him to see men worshiping God openly and freely. And don't be afraid to show your sons, men, that you're real. And that was what a lot was said, that we are real men. Most of the speakers says, I'm out there with you guys. I'm in the same place you are. Most of them weren't preachers. They were just people that had experiences that they shared. And so that was a real privilege. And then that's what Robert said. It's real easy, and I'm not the husband I should be all the time. Most of the time, probably. And I fall way short from being the Christian leader husband with my wife that I should be, and in praying for her. And you talk about being convicted yesterday about 12 o'clock. I felt pretty low because Dan Seaborn sure spoke to me, and I could be him in that respect, and I want to be a much better husband to a wonderful wife. And so there was something there for everybody. Wherever you were in your walk with Christ, whatever it was that was going on in your life, there was it spoke. Fascinating to see that many men in that place and worshiping God. So when we closed, our closing was, and it's the Dan Seaborn and his wife was there. I have to tell you that. She was there, and she did a little part with him. That was one brave woman, now I'm telling you, in that place with 8,000-10,000 men. There probably wasn't 5 women in the whole building, and she was down there in front, and they did a great little thing together in talking about husbands and wives. And I'll say that husbands and wives, if you think that you don't have any hope because we're so different, well, they were about as opposite as you could ever possibly imagine, yet they were committed to be married for life. That's something that he talked about, an organization, a movement that he's got. He's got, and you can go to it on the web. What is, I know you wrote it down, Robert, on the internet, marriedforlife.com or .org? .org. Marriedforlife.org. Sign the petition, send it in to Washington, D.C. He's sending it to Washington, supporting the family and marriage values. And is saying that he's wanting 1 million couples to sign that and send it in so that he can say to the government, to our officials, you know, that this is an important thing and that we need to protect the sanctity and the privileges of marriage.
One thing he also said was marriage is not man-made, it's God-made.
Exactly. Marriage is not a man-made thing. It's a God-made institution. It's a God-made thing. And so, commit to it for life if you haven't already, and work through those times. But when we closed, we sang the hymn, one of the hymns that Randy was mentioning, Great is Our Faithfulness. Great is Our Faithfulness. It's 140, I believe. Is that right, James? 140 in your hymn books. If you would stand up, turn to that, and let's sing that together. And all the men in that place, one of the phrases they had was, I got you back. And what that means is that I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to be in prayer for you and what you encounter every day. And we all put our arms around each other, all joined, locked arms together in unity, and saying that together we are stronger than we are as individuals. Okay. And let's join together. And where you are, you don't have to get out, but find somebody. If you're on a road without anybody, move over to the center, join arms with somebody, and know that you're not in this alone, that this is a community of faith. We are the body of Christ, and together we are much stronger than we are as individuals. And let's sing that song together.
There is no shadow of
books open to that chorus, let's sing it a cappella, and you get just a feel of how it was when we left there yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Randy, lead us out.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's pray. Father, I give you thanks this day for what you have done in the lives of the men that attended that conference, and in particular, the men here from this church, and those of us, those friends that went with us. Lord, may this not be just a spark that ignites, but may it be a roaring fire that consumes each of us, our families, and the community in which we live. May it all be to your glory and your honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless. Let's roll.
One of the chants.
Yeah. That got going in the arena, and it would start out.
We love Jesus, yes we do. We love Jesus, how about you?
And then the stadium on the other side would chant it back. So we're going to say it. Y'all chant it back to us after we do it.
We love Jesus, yes we do. We love Jesus, how about you?
We love Jesus, yes we do. We love Jesus, how about you?
Amen. Amen. God bless.